and a good Sunday afternoon to you. I hope that you've been enjoying a great day of being in the presence of the Lord, to worship Him and to hear from Him, and that you've been enjoying a day of resting with family and friends. Hi, this is Dr. Doug Cowan, a family therapist and director of ministry here at KAXL. And for the next 30 minutes, we're going to consider together some of the prayer requests that have come into our KAXL offices. So let's spend some time together now to listen to some music together, to pray together, and to take a few minutes to look at some topics of importance for you and your family.
So you thought you had to keep this up, all the work that you do. So we think that you're good, and you can't believe it's not enough. All the walls you build up are just glass on the outside. So let them fall down. There's freedom waiting in the sound. When you let your walls fall to the ground, we're here now. This is where the healing begins.
Every week when we get together, we go over some of the prayer requests that have come into the office here at KAXL and ask that you would join with me in prayer for these who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And this past week, really it's 2 weeks now by the time you hear this on the air, had a number of people who called in because they're sick, a lot of people dealing with cancer. Stacy is going to have cancer treatment for bone cancer. She needs blood, and she's asked for people to donate blood. Houchin Blood Bank is the place to go and tell them you want to donate for Stacy. Marie has just had surgery for breast cancer. We want to be praying for her. Doyle has cancer. Barbara's awaiting results of testing of a biopsy. Mike was just diagnosed with cancer. It's all through his body. So we want to be praying for him that God will heal him. Others here, breast cancer diagnosed just a week ago, want to be praying for their complete healing. Lonnie's in the hospital. Velma, recovering from cancer, waiting for test results, and so on. Robert, with tumors that were found. My friend Rich is dealing with cancer. We just want to be praying for all of these people that God would bring healing to their bodies, that God would draw their hearts closer and closer to Him, that God would give strength, not just to this person, but to their entire family, and that through this crisis, through this time, that everyone in the family would come to know God better and better and better. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we pray for every one of these that has called in to the office, their families called into the office, every one of these that is dealing with cancer in their body right now. We're just believing that you have something better for them than this, and believing that you can heal them. And we're asking that you would, in fact, heal them, that you would, in fact, give them strength, and that through this crisis, they would see you. They would see your hand working. They would see your face. Father, have mercy on them. We pray that ancient prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. And we pray that you would have mercy on these people who have called in with this request, that you would bring healing to their bodies and strength to their souls. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a number of other people who have called in the past week or two asking for healing in a different kind of way. Mary, Martha, Mario, Felipe, for healing in their body and in their spirit. We have others dealing with the flu, Sophia and Brianna and others like that, dealing with the flu and want healing, praying for healing. Susan, asking for prayer. The doctors would be able to find out what is the cause of much of her neck and arm pain. Howard, for other health problems. Kim has had a heart attack and needs surgery. Glenn is a World War II vet and he's in a lot of pain, and asking that God would be with him as he is on a journey. David's been in a motorcycle accident and is in a lot of pain and needs healing. And so on. A number of people for various kinds of ailments and pains that are very serious and are asking for prayer. And Father, we bring all of these people before you, all of these names we bring before you. You say that we can come with confidence before your throne, and that there we'll find mercy and grace in our time of need. And these people, Lord, are in a time of need, and we ask that you would pour out your mercy and your grace on them through healing, physical healing, that you would give them the strength to make it through these times of pain, that you would fix whatever's broken in their body, that you would help them to recover from the flu or whatever else might be ailing them. Father, we ask you would be with them, minister to them, surround them with your presence, let them know just how much you love them. Father, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. One brother calls in asking for prayer for God's justice to be done, for the truth to be revealed. And we want to be praying for this brother in Christ. And may I just throw this out here. This is from Psalm 18. I love you, O Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the source of my salvation. He is my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. Lord, be with this brother who needs prayer. He's asking for justice to be done. I don't know what the situation is. None of us do, but we're all praying for him. Should justice be done? Should your mercy be brought into the situation? We don't know, but he's asking that the truth would be revealed. And you are our rock, our fortress, and our deliverer. And we take refuge in you. We grab hold of that promise of who you are and ask that you would make this real in this brother's life right now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here is City Harmonic with The Manifesto and the Lord's Prayer.
Amen. Hi, this is Amber. For years, I introduced Bakersfield to Adventures and Odyssey episodes, and now I get to introduce you to a great new way to strengthen your family and reach into your neighborhood. KAXL is teaming up with my dad, Dr. Doug Cowan, to provide marriage seminars and parenting classes to local churches like yours. We want to help to build your church and strengthen your family, and it's free. To find out more, call the station or go to KAXL.com.
Well, thank you, Amber. Hey, I recently had the opportunity to meet with Ken Wunderly, who's co-pastoring a Church Without Walls here in Bakersfield. It's a street ministry. And I was just very excited about what this ministry is doing here in Bakersfield, what they're doing around town. So I wanted to let you know about some of their needs as they're serving really a variety of people. They could use these kinds of things. If you have them in your garage, you're not using them, you're never going to use them, well, they could use them right now. They could use blankets, sleeping bags, and used camping tents. You know, you've got a tent, you used it when the kids were growing up, the kids are out of the house, you will never use that thing again, and it's just taking up space in your garage. There are people who could use that really kind of to survive through the winter right now. So if you have those, please give me a call down here at the station, and I can get you connected with this ministry. It can be put to use right now. They could also use a generator. They're looking for a good generator, like a Honda 6500 or a Honda 7000 generator. Now, I know these are kind of pricey. These are like $3,000 items. I'm not suggesting that you go down right now and buy one for them. But there are some of you listening that have businesses that you have a generator like this quality that's in a warehouse. You haven't used it in years. You don't really need it, but you just, what are you going to do with it? Well, this street ministry could use it right now as they are doing their ministry. So if you have one of those just sitting in a warehouse, please give me a call. Let me get you connected with Ken and with this ministry. They're doing a great thing here in Bakersfield, and every one of us listening may be able to contribute to their ministry as they serve some of the kind of poor and disadvantaged here in Bakersfield. Just give me a call here at the station, and I'll connect you with their ministry. Let's just take a few minutes and look at God's Word here. We've been working through the Gospel of Mark in our little church, and we get to this section in the Gospel of Mark between sort of the end of chapter 8 and the end of chapter 10 that is bookmarked by two healings. One is the healing of the blind man that happens gradually, and the other is the healing of blind Bartimaeus. Between those bookends, including those bookends, there's a total of 15 really important lessons. Mark just wants us to understand all of the spiritual significance that we can get out of these lessons. And so he arranges them in a particular way, and he weaves together this theme of the way, that there is a way to follow Jesus. And you'll see in Mark's gospel this phrase, the way, several times. It's not always just in the way to follow Jesus. Sometimes it's that they were on the way to Jerusalem, or they were on the way here, or they were coming on the way from there. But you'll see this phrase several times in the Gospel of Mark, and it's as though he wants us to understand this theme of there is a way to follow Jesus. And so we come to this section, and it starts with the healing of this blind man, a gradual healing, which I know frustrates some people. There are some people who hold to this thought that every healing that Jesus did was immediate and it was permanent, and we don't see that today and whatever. Here's a healing by Jesus that is gradual, and it is done very purposefully. What I mean is there's a lot set up about this. And so let's take a minute and look at this healing. It's found in Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 22. Now they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. And when he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" Well, he looked up and he said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't go into the village." Now, there's a couple of important lessons out of this. One is, let's look at the village of Bethsaida. Who were these people? You remember in other passages, one in Matthew, one in Luke, we get this account where Jesus really curses this village. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago." It's part of this thing of Jesus had done miraculous things in this village, and they still refused to believe in him. They still refused to see him as the Messiah. And we see this in a couple of times right here in this section of Mark's gospel between this healing of the blind man and the healing of the blind Bartimaeus. To get some of the background here, it would be important to look in your Bibles in Numbers chapter 14. And this is where God is talking to Moses. The people of Israel had come out of Egypt. They'd come out of slavery. They'd been saved from Pharaoh's army by going through the sea, God parting the sea, and then the army comes in, you know, and the army's all destroyed, and the people are free on the other side. And then God takes them through the desert, and he feeds them, and he takes care of them, and they head to the promised land. God gives them the covenant, the Ten Commandments, all these things happen. They get to the promised land, they send in some spies, and back come the 12 spies, and they say, "Wow, those guys are really big. I don't think we can take them in a fight." And only two of the spies say, "Are you kidding me? God has brought us this far. He's destroyed Pharaoh's army. He's fed us out in the desert. And God's already given us a plan of how he's going to get rid of these enormous people. He's going to use hornets to do it. We don't even have to fight them. All we have to do is just cling to the promises of God. He's already done all these things to show us who he is and how much he loves us and how powerful he is. All we have to do is trust him, and this promised land is ours." But the people say, "Let's go back to Egypt. At least they have onions back there that we can eat." So God is not happy. And you know the story. Look at it in Numbers. But God says this. This is really important. "How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the miraculous signs that I have performed among them?" This is God talking to Moses, and in the end comes this judgment of only the children are going to live except for these two who have faith. They'll go into the promised land. Everybody else is headed back out to the desert where they'll die, but their children will inherit the promise. Now, you'll remember in Mark, a little bit later on, we'll look at this. After the transfiguration, Jesus meets with who? Elijah and Moses. Comes back down off the mountain. There's a boy with an evil spirit there that the disciples aren't casting out, and Jesus has to take over. The first thing he does is he quotes Moses, this Numbers 14, when he says, "How long will I have to put up with this generation?" And what he's referring to is, "I've performed all these miracles, and still people will not put their faith and trust in me. How long will I have to put up with this?" And so this section starts with this healing of the blind man, healing him gradually in the town of Bethsaida. And it was an unbelieving town. And so Jesus takes the man out of town and ministers to him outside the village. And after the man's vision is restored, what's he say to him? He says, "Go home, but don't go into the village." These people refuse to believe in Christ, even though he had done all of these miraculous things in the village prior to this. So why is this the beginning of this particular section in the Gospel of Mark? Well, first, Mark wants us to understand this principle. Sometimes healings come gradually, and sometimes understanding spiritual things comes gradually. Not everybody gets it all at once. I don't get it all. Do you get it all at once? No. Some things come gradually. And so we're going to see with the disciples in this section, Jesus is asking them questions like, "Who do you say that I am?" And some of that is revealed gradually to people. And that's part of the point of the next two chapters, really, that Mark has. Is people sometimes come to faith in Christ gradually. They understand spiritual truths gradually. Their eyes are illuminated gradually in some cases. In other cases, it's immediate. And people get it, like we're going to see with blind Bartimaeus in a couple weeks. As you look at through this section at the end of chapter 10, we meet Bartimaeus. Here's a guy who refused to be told, "No, you can't come to Jesus. So he had great faith, even in some ways more faith than Jesus' disciples had at this point. So that's the first point, is that sometimes faith comes gradually. God works in our lives, in our spiritual eyes, gradually. The other point is this. There's very little that's more disappointing to God than for him to do some work in somebody's life and for them still not to have faith in him. When God does a work in a church, in a community, in a family, in an individual's life, he does it so that you'll put your faith and trust in him. If God has been working in your life, please don't keep saying, well, do some other miracle and I'll believe. Do some other thing for me and I'll believe. God's not your genie. God is God. And it's out of his kindness that he's trying to draw you to him. So praise God for all of the blessings that he's given to you and come to God because of those blessings. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ because of all the blessings that he's given you. Keep a record of those good things that God has done in your life. Keep a record of those times when God has acted in a mighty way and praise him for those things. Let them be reminders of who God is and how much he loves you and how much he wants you to come and put all of your faith and all of your trust in him. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you for listening. I'm Dr. Doug Cowan, Director of Ministry here at KAXL, and also thank you for supporting the ministry of this radio station. We'll be back next Sunday at 5:30 with more of your prayer requests and a brief ministry time. And until then, may God bless you.